We left off last week. We had just started talking about Birchas HaTorah, and I'm actually going to step out of the Gemara for the moment. I hope, I don't know if you were received. Did you receive a source sheet? I don't know if I
Not to
sent
the
it.
best of my knowledge.
Okay, so it must be that Lenny's busy. He didn't see my email. But I'm going to share it anyway on the screen. But before we go to the Gemara itself, I wanted to explore actually Birchas HaTorah. It's something of, I don't want to say an enigma, but it's rather interesting in that there's an explicit Gemara in our Masechta, in Daf Aleph, which we'll see in a little bit, where it's something that seems to be ignored by many of the Rishonim and even the Shulchan Aruch, but it takes a few Achronim to sort of dredge it up and resuscitate it. So I wanted to sort of go on a little bit of a, not a tangent, very much related, but I want to explore Birchas HaTorah a little bit and its source. So I'm going to share my screen, and you'll see a source sheet that reads Makor of Birchas HaTorah. And I begin first actually with the Gemara in the middle of nowhere, but I think a highly important Gemara. And the Gemara in Nedarim, Daf Pei Aleph, states the following: Shelchu mitam, they sent from Eretz Yisrael a message of Musar, I guess. And one of the parts of the message was, Hizaharu, excuse me, bifnei aniyim, shemehen teitzei Torah, that one should be careful not to dismiss and not to prevent an opportunity of studying Torah from the children of poor people. Because it is very often those are the children who become, let's say, Gedolei Torah. Shenemar, Yizalmayim Midolyav. Now, this is a pasuk from Birchas Bilam. It's from the, I think, the third bracha. And there's a question of how does the Gemara see in this that the poor people, you know, the children of poor people may also become major Talmid Chacham. Some want to amend the Girsa. Even though that's not the way the pasuk reads, is to read it as if it says Yizal Mayim Midalim from the poor people, and Mayim is a reference to Torah. I think the Ran here offers an explanation that either that the is that the children of poor people really don't have anything else to be doing. Obviously, they're not engaged in a living, so they send it to study Torah. He has another interpretation as well. Now the Gemara, which I'm interested in, which is kind of an interesting statement because it's sometimes true and it's sometimes not true. But apparently, in the time of the Gemara, it wasn't such a common thing to have a, you might call it a dynasty or a chain, where the father was a great rabbi, the son was a great rabbi. In fact, the Gemara in Ksubos in the sixth parak tells a story about one of the Amoraim who went away. He was the son of a Talmud Chacham. He went away to learn in yeshiva when his child was very young, and he didn't even recognize him when he came back. But it turned out that the child had turned into a Talmud Chacham as well, and he was so excited that there was now three generations because it was v'hachuta mishulash lo b'mehirah yinaseik. The three-part thread doesn't come apart so quickly. But the Gemara here assumes that it wasn't so typical that the children of Talmidei Chachamim were Talmidei Chachamim. So the question is why? So Amar Rabbi Yosef, by the way, if you had asked me, the answer to that question would be is that so often Talmidei Chachamim are so busy dealing with the needs of others that the needs of their own children are neglected. However, the Gemara offers a number of different explanations that are not that. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Shelo Yomru Torah Yerusha Hilahem. And there's a debate here what this means. One interpretation offered by the Ran is that in effect, the reason why this is almost, they're both generated by God. You don't find the children Talmidei Chachamim being Talmidei Chachamim because they have a tendency to think, they might have a tendency to think of it as a Yerusha, and that doesn't lead to having Talmidei Chachamim. Alternatively, and this speaks as more appealing, is that God doesn't make it so much so common so that other people who aren't the children of Talmid Chachamim won't say, well, what's the point in my studying Torah? Because after all, his father's been Talmid Chacham, he's going to inherit. So the answer is, it's not typical. And Torah basically is the province of those who step forward to claim its mantle. Then the Gemara gives a different interpretation. Rav Sheshes Breid Ravidi Omer Kedeshalo Yizgadru Al HaTzibur. so that they don't become so, I would say, arrogant over the tzibur, because people realize that even if you're a Talmud Chacham and you might be a tendency to put yourself or maybe separate yourself or something like that, but the next generation of yours may not, may be, the shoe might be on the other foot. And perhaps in a very similar fashion, Mar Zutra Amar Mei Shem is Gabra Mel HaTzibur, that they abuse their power. If the children, if you know that your children are not going to be in the same position, perhaps you will be less inclined to do so. Ravashi Amar Mishum Dekaru La'inshe Chamare, because they call people donkeys, which is a nice way of translating here. But basically is that they don't have respect for the Tzibur. Sometimes rabbis think themselves to be better, and they relate to others in a way that isn't so nice. But the last one, and the one that I'm interested in, is Ravina Omar, She'ein Mevarchin Batorah Tchila, because they don't make Birchas HaTorah. And that's before they study Torah. We read last week, you get up in the morning to learn before davening, and you have to say Birchas HaTorah, and the Gemara has two or three brachas, depending on how you count them. So the reason why it's not common that the children of Talmidei Chacham are Talmidei Chacham is because they don't make Birchas HaTorah, which sounds like a very, very, very strange thing to say. That's the reason why they're not Talmidei Chacham. And one might add, they sit and they learn Torah, but they just don't make Birchas HaTorah. That's why they're not Talmidei Chacham. What's some kind of magic? We'll get to that in a second. But the Gemara comments, the Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, Mai dechsev mi ha'ish ha'chacham v'yavein ezos. The Navi Yirmiyahu asks, who is the wise person who will understand why the land is desolate, why the people have been exiled? Sedavar zenisha l'chachamim ulanavim v'lo pershu. The wise men and the prophets were asked, but nobody knew the answer. Ad shepirsho HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzmo. God had to give the explanation as to why the land was desolate. Dichsiv, Vayomer Hashem al ozvam es torasi, and because they abandoned my Torah. So, and then the pasuk continues, Velo shamu bekoli, velo hochuba. So the Gemara says, what is the, why, the pasuk is redundant. Al ozvam es torasi, they abandoned my Torah. They didn't listen to my voice and they didn't follow Torah. So, what is it being added? So Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, She'im Evarchem BaTorah Tchila. Because they don't make a bracha before they study Torah. So the question is, what does this mean? What is that magic? It's like it's hocus pocus. If I said Birchas HaTorah, then I become a Talmid Chacham. You know, when I don't know what the origin of this is, but when I was a child, I was taught in yeshiva that if you leave your sefer open when you walk out, that you forget everything you learn. I haven't ever scientifically experimented on this. It'd be interesting to do a double blind experiment. But as I think about it, the message in effect is a very similar message, actually. And the Ran here explains, Midichsiv Vayomer Hashem al Azvam Es Tarasi, the fact that God speaks in the first person. Michlal de Leka de Yadala Durei Taima al Akutcha Brechu Bilchut. The only one who knew the answer to the question, Yirmiyahu doesn't say, Allah Sher Azvu Es Toras Hashem. It's God speaking in the first person. Allah Zvam Es Torasi. So why, the question is, why did nobody know the answer to the question? So Umatzasi B'Megillah Starim Shel Harav Rabbeinu Yonazal. Dekra Hachi Dayak. Rabbeinu Yonah explained that this is how what the Gemara is learning from the Pasuk. The Al Shelochu Berchu B'Torah Tchila, because they didn't make a bracha before, of the Haaretz, the land was lost, it became desolate. The im Isa al ozvames torasi kipshata mashmash ozvues atorah velohoy oskimba. If it really meant that in practice they stopped studying Torah and they weren't observing Torah, so kishenisha lachacham lunafim lama lo pershua. Why weren't the wise people and the prophets able to explain why the land had been destroyed? Valo davar galoy haya v'kal lefarish. It was easy to answer that question. Elavadai oskin hayu b'torah tamid. No, they study Torah constantly. That's why the wise people and the prophets wondered. Amma of the Haaretz, they didn't understand. God, who knows everything that goes on, answer the question. So what does that mean? Klomar, Shelo Haisa Torah Chashuva Beinayim Kokach. Shehiroin Levarech Aleha. Yeah, they studied Torah because that's what they did. Their father studied Torah. That's who the people they hung out with. But they didn't appreciate actually what Torah was. That's why they weren't careful about the bracha. What does it mean they didn't go in the ways of Torah? Klomar bikavanasa ulishma. They didn't study Torah because they recognized its importance because of its of the highest calling. They studied that in a sense, essence by habit. This is what Rabbeinu Yonah said. So when I think about this, it's a very powerful and striking passage. There are lots of people who study Torah. Daf Yomi has become very, very popular. Daf Yomi is finishing Erevin today, starting Pesachim tomorrow. But the question is, sometimes people engage in Torah study because it's an intellectual activity, because it's interesting, because the people around them do it, that's what they do it. But the Torah, as we see in the last of the Birchas HaTorah, is not just an intellectual activity. It's actually a gift of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And someone who doesn't make Birchas HaTorah before does not understand and appreciate what exactly the significance of Torah and Torah study is. A very interesting comment that I never thought about, but my wife made the observation to me very recently, is that people today often study Pshuto Shel Mikra. They try to study Tanakh in a manner which is using ancient Near Eastern sources, using all sorts of methodologies that are not really new, but we associate as sort of being contemporary academic study. And for some people, it's interesting, it's intellectually stimulating, but there's sort of an approach, even people who are ma'aminim, it's kind of academic in its nature. It's intellectual. But when you look at the Rishonim who study Pshuto Shel Mikra, when you look at Ibn Ezra, who's sort of regarded as the exemplar of the school, Ibn Ezra studying Pshuto Shel Mikra was the ultimate religious pursuit. It was understanding the word of God in its most essential and core manifestation. It wasn't simply academic study or intellectual study. Today, people look at it that way because we would often say Pshuto Shel Mikra isn't inspiring. It doesn't inspire us like Medrash does. That might be true for most people, but for Ibn Ezra, and I assume for Rashbam, it was the most inspiring thing in the world. Dikduk, careful study of Pshuto Shel Mikra, because if you view what you're doing as studying the word of God and as a gift from God, it's a totally different enterprise than something that's simply an intellectual activity. The children of Talmidei Chachamim who grow up in a certain environment and sometimes take things for granted and they don't appreciate what Torah really is and what the gift of Torah is, so they don't make Birchas HaTorah. Yeah, they do it because they eat what their parents eat, they drink what their parents drink, they go to shul, daven with their parents. So their fathers learn, so they learn. Their parents learn, so they learn. But Talmud Torah is something actually much more significant than that. Okay, so the Gemara in Brachos, which you can either follow along on the sheet, or if you want, you can look in your Gemara on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. So the Gemara there has a very interesting comment. And this is the Gemara I made reference to earlier, which is sort of omitted in the Sifrei HaPsak. The Rambam says nothing really about this, although it may explain what a shita is. And the Shulchan Aruch also ignores this Gemara. So the Gemara says the following. Amar Rav Yehuda, minayin lebirchas hamazon la'acharea min haTorah. How do you know that after you eat food, you have to bench? Shenemar, v'yochal tov v'savata uveirachta. Okay, so the Gemara here implies, which I think is broadly accepted, that Birchas HaMazon is a mitzvah saseh de'oraisa. I don't know if all, but I would be willing to bet that all the Monei HaMitzvos count Birchas HaMazon. What that means in practice is that if you've eaten a full meal and you've eaten bread, to keep it simple, and now you don't remember if you benched, you have to bench again. I mean, maybe if you knew you benched, you don't bench, but if you have a suffix, so sveika daraisa lechomra. Normally our rule with brachos is whenever we have a doubt, we don't make the bracha, we just do the mitzvah. So for example, you're not sure whether you're supposed to make the bracha in this case on the lulav and esrog, or you're not sure whether you're supposed to make the bracha achilas matzah. So the halacha is that you do the mitzvah, but you don't make the bracha because suffix brachos lahakel, probably because to make an unnecessary bracha might be a prohibition of being motzi shem shemayim levatola, might be invoking God's name unnecessarily. But whether or not it's a machlokas harishon and whether a bracha shein atzricha is an issa daraisa and issa drabana, it's probably a machlokas between the Rambam Tosas. But either way, the rule is safek brachos lahakel. But that's not true by birchas hamazon. By birchas hamazon, if you're not sure whether you bench or not, you have to bench. And the Gemara quotes the pasuk that is familiar to us. It's from Birchas HaMazon, and that's the source. So now the Gemara says next, Minayin le Birchas HaTorah, lifaneha min HaTorah. How do you know that you have to make a Birchas HaTorah before, let's say, studying Torah? And I think everybody agrees this is not the Birchas HaTorah that you make in shul when you read Kriyas HaTorah. This is the bracha you make before you study Torah. Shenemar, ki shem Hashem ekra, Havu goda lelokeinu. The pasuk from Shiras Hazinu, where Moshe Rabbeinu says, when I invoke the name of God, you should give praise, bring glory to God. So the Gemara understands this pasuk to mean that kishem Hashem ekra, when one wants to study the Torah of God, havu goda lelokeinu, first you have to speak the praises of God. So you have to thank God for giving us the Torah, etc. Now, if you stop right here, it would appear from the Gemara that Birchas HaTorah is mid-de-oraisa. And the Gemara does quote a pasuk, and a pasuk from the Torah. The only thing that perhaps would allow us to consider, maybe it's not really mid-de-oraisa, is the pasuk sounds like, the best way I could describe it, is a shtikel asmachta. It sounds like it's a little bit of asmachta. This is not, it's not entirely clear, certainly if you pshat, that this sounds like Birchas HaTorah. That's very clearly that the pshat there is Birchas HaMazon. But here, one could have wondered in a vacuum whether if the Gemara hadn't said, Minayin leBirchas HaTorah lefaneha min HaTorah, without those two words, min HaTorah, I suspect everybody would have probably called this an asmachta. But the Gemara does say min HaTorah, and the Gemara does have it in parallel to Birchas HaMazon, which is certainly midoraisa. So now the Gemara goes on. Amar Rabbi Yochanan lamanu birchas haTorah lachareya min birchas hamazon mikal v'chomer. How do you know you have to make a bracha after study, after reading from the Torah? And ultimately, this is not going to stand up. But you can learn it from a kal v'chomer from birchas hamazon. Ubirchas hamazon lifaneha min birchas haTorah mikal v'chomer. You can learn the obligation of making a bracha before you eat from a kal v'chomer from birchas haTorah. And Rabbi Yochanan now explains. Birchas HaTorah lachareha min birchas hamazon mikal v'chomer u'ma mazon she'ein ta'an lefanav. If food does not require bracha before, but ta'an la'acharav, it still requires a bracha afterwards. So you see from that there's a bias in favor of making a bracha afterwards. Torah she'tu'una lefaneha ein adin she'tu'un lachareha. If Torah requires a birchas Torah before, certainly it should require birchas Torah afterwards. And then the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan says, "Birchas HaMazon lefaneha min Birchas HaTorah mikal v'chomer." The exact same thing in the inverse. Uma Torah she'ena tun lachareha tun lefaneha. Torah doesn't require bracha afterwards. At least we have no source min haTorah, but it requires a bracha before. So mazon shutan laacharav, ena din she'etan lefanav. If food requires a bracha afterwards min haTorah, certainly it should then already require a bracha beforehand. Now the truth is the Gemara is going to reject this in the next line. And the rejection is actually more interesting than the mechanics. From a mechanics perspective, it's a very strange argument. Each kal v'chomer is predicated upon the opposite assumption of the other. In other words, the exact opposite. The first kal v'chomer is to say that if you require birchas hamazon, a bracha afterwards, but not before, that demonstrates to you that generally we're more likely to require a bracha afterwards than before. And once you know that Birchas HaTorah has to be made before, kal v'chomer, there must be a bracha afterwards. But then the Gemara turns around with the reverse assumption, saying from the fact that we have Birchas HaTorah min HaTorah before, but the Torah doesn't mention afterwards, shows you that there's a bias towards making a bracha before things. And if Birchas HaMazon already has a bracha afterwards, it must have a bracha before. So the truth is, I would be much more deeply bothered by that, but the Gemara is going to reject this statement. And the Gemara immediately says, Ika lemifrach, now, each kal v'chomer isn't good. You can't make a kal v'chomer from anything in Birchas HaMazon to Birchas HaTorah, and not from Birchas HaTorah to Birchas HaMazon. Mal Mazon Shekeinene. It could be that by Birchas HaMazon, you make a bracha afterwards, but you can't learn any Kal V'chomer at the Birchas HaTorah, because you know what? When you eat food, you're nene. You get hana. You get a very, very powerful sense of hana. When you study Torah, you don't get that hana. I know, again, maybe going back to the earlier point, the purpose of study of Torah is not so you have this intellectual high. So, yes, you might enjoy learning Torah, but nonetheless, we might just say in this context, mitzvos lav lehanos nitnu. The hana of fulfilling a mitzvah is not regarded, generally speaking, in halacha in a number of contexts as hana. So you can't prove anything for the fact that there's a birchas hamazon afterwards to birchas haTorah, because mazon might generate a bracha by virtue of the deep-seated physical pleasure that we get from it. And you also can't learn a kal v'chomer from Torah to birchas hamazon. Uman l'Torah shekein chayei olam. Torah might demand a bracha because Torah is eternal life. Mazon only gets you chayei sha'ah. Mazon will sustain you for a short time. But Torah sustains us forever. Then the Gemara says, "V'o tanan al amazon mevarech la'achar avin and mevarech lefanav." This Gemara happens to be located on a Mishnah in the third parak that says that if a man is a balkeri, he has experienced the seminal mission and he hasn't yet gone to the mikvah in accordance with Takanas Ezra, he can make birchas amazon, but he doesn't recite hamotzi when he eats bread. We don't hold the Takanas Ezra anymore, so this exemption doesn't apply today. However, Bisman in an era in which they observed the Takan of Ezra, if you hadn't gone to the mikveh yet, you could not make hamotzi before, you just wouldn't make hamotzi before you ate. Maybe you would think it, but you wouldn't say it, whereas birchas hamazon you would make. And obviously the reason why the Mishnah draws the distinction between hamotzi and birchas hamazon is because birchas hamazon is an obligation midoraisa, and Ezra's takana was not intended to override that, whereas Birchas HaMotzi is a din derabanan, and Ezra's Takana was intended to override that. Okay, so the Gemara says finally, Tufta, Rabbi Yochanan is wrong. But what would appear to stand as the conclusion of the Gemara is that Birchas HaMazon is Minat Torah after you eat, and Birchas HaTorah is Minat Torah before you study Torah. That's what it would appear to be. Now, the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos does not count Birchas HaTorah as a mitzvah. He does count Birchas HaMazon as a mitzvah. From a methodological standpoint, there are two possible ways to explain based upon the Sefer HaMitzvos, what is the Rambam's position on Birchas HaTorah? Possibility number one is to say that the Rambam omitted mention of Birchas HaTorah in the Sefer HaMitzvos because he did not believe it was a mitzvah asei deoraisa. In other words, he read the Gemara in Brachos as just being an asmachta, not being a real drasha. The second possibility is that the Rambam does require Birchas HaTorah as being midoraisa. However, the Rambam counts differently. In other words, the game that the Rishonim had to play was that there are 613 mitzvahs. The problem is there are more than 613 mitzvahs. Well, there are certainly more than 613 dinim deoraisa. The question is, how can you fit them into categories, 613 boxes? So, for example, and I might be misremembering this, but if I'm not mistaken, the Rambam omits the mitzvah of making an aron. He omits the mitzvah of making an aron. There's a mitzvah of making a menorah. There's a mitzvah of making a shulchan. There's a mitzvah of making a mizbeach. But there's no mitzvah of making an aron, even though the Torah says, v'asu li'aron atzeishitem. So the question is, why does the Rambam omit that? So at least two explanations have been offered for that. One possibility is that the Rambam believes that the mitzvah of making an aron was only for Moshe Rabbeinu's generation. The assumption might be is that the aron will never be destroyed, but there's no mitzvah ever again to make another aron. Whereas if something happens to the Shulchan or something happens to the menorah, like happened in the destruction of the first temple. So when they rebuild the second temple, there's a mitzvah to make a Shulchan, to make a menorah, to build a Mizbeach. No mitzvah to make another Aron. They didn't have the Aron in the second temple. The other way of explaining why there's no mitzvah making Aron is not because it's not a mitzvah saseh deraisa, but rather because it's subsumed under the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash, for asur li-mikdash. And since the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash was for the Shechina to dwell there, and the purpose of the Aron was for the Shechina to dwell, so it's all the same mitzvah, building the Beis HaMikdash in its totality, subsumes within it one specific action, which happens to be building the Aron, aside from doing everything else. But the Aron is subsumed. So that's a counting strategy. That's not a fundamental way of relating to whether or not building an Aron would be a mitzvah. So the same question arises here. Does the Rambam omit Birchas HaTorah because it's not Doraisa? It's not a mitzvah min HaTorah? Or because the Rambam somehow subsumed it within another mitzvah? I would ask if anybody wanted to volunteer a suggestion, what mitzvah would you have said it would have been included in? Any thoughts?
Talmud Torah.
That's correct, Sam. So we will see. The Aruch HaShulchan is going to suggest that. I think the Aruch HaShulchan is wrong, and I think he can show you why he's not correct in this. But nonetheless, if I would agree, if the Rambam held it were min HaTorah, that's where the Rambam would have, and he didn't want to count it, he would have subsumed it in a mitzvah. So, but the Rambam, bottom line is the Rambam does not count it certainly as a mitzvah. And I will add one detail in my defense here, is that the Rambam doesn't suggest anywhere in the Yad HaZaka, in the Mishnah Torah, he doesn't make it sound like Birchas HaTorah is Midaraisa. But we'll come back to that hopefully a little bit later. But in the meantime, let's go back to the source sheet. And the Ramban, at the end of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, both the Mitzvah Saseh and the Mitzvah Lo Saseh of the Rambam, after the Rambam enumerates the 248/365 positive and negative commandments, the Ramban at the end, each, counts a number of mitzvos that he believes the Rambam missed and should have included in his count. And here, it's one of the last ones. I think they're like 17 or something in Mitzvah Saseh. The Ramban writes the following. Mitzvah Tesvav, shenitztavinu lahodos l'shmo yisparach, b'chol eishe nikra batorah, that we are commanded to give thanks to his holy name anytime we study Torah, Al Hatova Hagidola She'asalanu Besito Toraso Elenu, in the incredible good thing that God did for us when he gave us his Torah, Vahodienu Hamasim Haritsuyim Lefanav Shebahaninchal Chayalim Haba. And he taught us those things that are appeasing before him, that are desirable for God, through which we will merit eternal life. Just as we were commanded to make a bracha after eating, we were also commanded to make a birchas haTorah. In the third parak of brachos, Amru, minayin lebirchas haTorah lefaneh min haTorah, shenemar ki shem Hashem ekra havu godol elokeinu. He just quotes the Gemara. V'ratza lilma birchas hamazon lefaneh shem min haTorah kal v'chomer mizeh. And they wanted to learn Birchas HaMazon, that Hamotzi is Midaraisa with the Kavach Omer. Ve'amru umat Torah she'ena tuna bracha harea, tuna lefanea, mazon shetan la'achar, enadon shetan lefana. Ve'yishivu al zeh miderech ha'pirchos. But the Gemara responded, as it often does, by asking questions against the Kavach Omer. Ma la'Torah she'ken chayal olam. Ve'yotanan, and they also had the other question. But the Ramban says, ve'cheftzam bazeh, Shechevan shebalkeri in mvarach lefana b'mazon v'hu mvarach acharea nilmot shebracha acharav b'lvad hu min haTorah ulafikach in a betela netak alasam b'tfila balekeri. As I explained earlier, in other words, clearly Hamotzi is the Rabbanon, but Birchas HaMazon is midaraisa, and that's why balekeri recites Birchas HaMazon but doesn't recite Hamotzi. Ushma mina de kavachomer prichahi. So you see that it's a bad kavachomer. But says the Ramban, V'ha'ola mizeh, shebirchas haTorah lefaneha, mitzvas asei de'oraisa. It's a mitzvas asei min haTorah. And then the Ramban continues, he quotes a Yerushalmi, And then he says the following. Ve'ein ra'oi lemnosa mitzvah achas imakriya. You might have been tempted to say that Birchas HaTorah is part of the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah, mina Kriyas HaTorah, but Talmud Torah. Kimo shemikra bikurim eina nimna achas imhava osam. Just as there's a mitzvah of bringing bikurim, and then there's a mitzvah of reading the parasha bikurim, and they're two separate mitzvahs. And similarly, b'sipu yitzias mitzrayim imachilas haPesach. There's a mitzvah of eating the korban Pesach, and we say eating Pesach matzah mor. And there's also a mitzvah sipu yitzias mitzrayim on the Pesach matzah mor. But we don't put the two together. The two are separate mitzvahs. By the same token, mitzvah Talmud Torah and the mitzvah Birchas HaTorah should be counted as two separate mitzvahs. So that is what the Ramban says. Now, when you look in the Shulchan Aruch and in Rabbi Yosef Karo's precursor work to the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef, he doesn't mention this Ramban at all. He doesn't mention the possibility that Birchas HaTorah is Minat Torah. Doesn't say a word about it. The Mishneh Berurah comes along and writes the following. He says, Ayin b'shagas aryeh, simen chof dalet. The Shagas aryeh writes, Demasik shebirchas haTorah hu minat Torah. He says that Birchas haTorah is mitaraisa. Vilochein, im nistapek lo, im birech birchas haTorah, chozer umavarech. If you're not sure whether you made Birchas haTorah, guess what? You have to make it again. But umikomakom, kevan shehu lo safek, if since you're not sure, lo yivarech ela birchas asher bachar banu, shehi hamula shebebrachos kediisa gemara. I don't remember if we read this gemara to the end of the gemara last week, but does anybody remember? Did we read the full nusach of the brachos in the gemara? I don't think so. But the Gemara will quote the two or three brachos, however you want to count them. And the Gemara concludes on our daf, on your alpha and base, by stating, Amar Rav Hamnuna, Zohi Ma'ula Sheba Brachos. The best of the Birchas HaTorah is the last bracha, which is Asher Bachar Bani Mikol Amim Menasan Lanu Es Torasau, which highlights not the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but that the Torah is God's gift to the Jewish people. So once you're not sure whether you made Birchas HaTorah, you have to make Birchas HaTorah to Sveka D'Oraisa. But guess what? You don't have to make all three brachos. Clearly, to satisfy the Torah obligation of Birchas HaTorah, it should be sufficient to make one bracha. So the Shagas Aryeh recommends you make the last bracha. V'ayein b'sharei tshuva shehevi b'shem tzas achronim. The sovrim de misafek lo yachzer v'yivarech. There are some achronim who say, if you're not sure, you don't make another bracha. But the Mishneh Berurah says, uve emes koshem ma'od, lismoch al devrehem, lismoch aleihem, achar de harbe rishonim, sovrim de birchas haTorah min haTorah. So there are a block of rishonim who believe that birchas haTorah is midaraisa, and therefore it's sveka daraisa lachumra. And v'yadua she'onesh mishe'ena mevarech ala Torah gadol ma'od. And here he's making reference, I think, to the Gemara Nedarim, that someone who doesn't make a bracha on Torah, his punishment is terrible, right? Al ma of doha aretz. Why was the land destroyed? Now, the truth be told, the first argument, I think, is a compelling argument. If Birchas HaTorah is a Torah obligation, then when in doubt, you have to repeat. The argument that the failure to make Birchas HaTorah brings with it a great onesh, I don't think is applicable in a circumstance, on an occasional circumstance, where you happen not to be sure whether you made Birchas HaTorah or not. You see, if that were the only consideration, the one day that you're not sure we had made Birchas HaTorah, I don't think the Rebbe Rosham on those grounds would get so angry and destroy the land. Meaning, when not making Birchas HaTorah reflects not appreciating what Torah is, so that's a problem. If you're not making Birchas HaTorah one day because you're not sure you might have made it already, so that in its own right is not such a compelling reason why you should have to make Birchas HaTorah when in doubt. But the Mishnah Brura does offer something of a compromise here, which is ach im nizkar ze la'achar hatfila shekvar beirach birkas ava rabba efshar diyesh lahakil bazeh. If right after you daven already, you're not sure whether you made birchas haTorah before davening, but you know you said ava rabba, and we have not quite yet learned this, but I think we just about touched upon this. If you say ava rabba, the Gemara says that you need to make birchas haTorah later because you're potter. But we haven't learned Tosfos yet, and Tosfos is going to quote a Yerushalmi that makes some noises about having to learn immediately after ava rabba in order for it to fulfill your obligation. So Tosfos seems to reach the conclusion that the only way ava rabba exempts you from making birchas haTorah is if after davening immediately you sit down and learn. Obviously, you can't have regular Talmud Torah immediately after Birchas Ava Rabba because you have to read Kriya Shema. Now, it's an interesting question why Kriya Shema there shouldn't fulfill your obligation of Talmud Torah, but let's just accept that for the moment. So the Mishnah Brura here is suggesting, so the truth is, when we read the Gemara, the Talmud Bavli, there's no indication that you have to learn immediately after davening. So some would say it doesn't make a difference. Once you've said Ava Rabba, you can no longer make Birchas HaTorah, even if you didn't learn immediately after davening. So even though we might not ordinarily adopt that position, but here the Mishnah Brura says, since you're already not sure, you might have made Birchas HaTorah anyway. If you've now said Ava Rabba, Efshar Deyesh Lahakel Bazeh, Afilu Im Lalamad Techaf La'acharat Tfila. In other words, I think we would say that if you know you didn't make Birchas HaTorah, and then you said Ava Rabba, but you didn't learn immediately after davening, then I think we would tell you, you need to make Birchas HaTorah. But in this case, where you might have made Birchas HaTorah anyway, and now you've said Ava Rabba, even though you didn't learn immediately after davening, that's enough to tell you, don't make another bracha. And then, of course, there's always the last resort option, V'im yachol levake shmei acher, sheyotzi'ena b'birchas HaTorah. Oh, sheyachavein lechatchila b'birchas Ava Rabba, liftor v'lumo techov lachar tfila mato. The best thing to do is either to ask somebody else who hasn't made Birchas Torah yet to say the brachos out loud, and you'll answer amen to their brachos, so you avoid the problem entirely. Or if you haven't davened yet, but you know you have a suffix where you made Birchas HaTorah, so have in mind when you say Ava Rabba to exempt your Birchas HaTorah and learn immediately after davening, that's the best solution. Okay. Ubeprat, the Mishnah Brura says, especially the Fima Shematzasi Acharkach, B'sefer Ma'amar Mordechai, Shemevi B'shem Halavushva Olas Tamed Gamkein. He found one of the Achronim quotes other Achronim who say, to whom mid the Rabbanon? They say Birchas HaTorah is only mid the Rabbanon. If that's the case, B'vadai Tzarech Lizar L'chatchil Lasos Kein, then really you should try to be careful. If you're not sure whether you said Birchas HaTorah, so then you should try to listen to someone else's Birchas HaTorah, or you should use Ava Rabba and learn immediately after davening. Okay, and then the Gemara concludes by saying, "Ubirchas haTorah betzibur," and Mishnah Brura concludes, "Ubirchas haTorah betzibur lechu le'alma derabbanan mishum kvod haTzibur shrei kvar birech b'shachris." I would have said it's kvod haTorah, but the brachos you make in shul on the Torah are not midaraisa; those are only midrabbanan. In fact, one of the situations the Boskim can talk about is that if a person walked into shul late, they just said Birchas HaTorah, they haven't even had the chance to say Yivarechacha, to read the Psukim, to do the Talmud Torah afterwards, which we're going to talk about that probably not tonight, but next week, next Sunday morning. But you haven't had the chance to even say the things we say immediately after Birchas HaTorah. And then the Gabbai says, Yamod, you know, Ploni ben Ploni. They call you up to the Yamod. They call you up to the Torah to get an Aliyah. So literally the last words out of your mouth, yourself personally, privately, were Asher Bochar Banami Kalamim and Asalanos Torah. So you get up on the bima, you have to make the bracha immediately again, exactly what you did before. So anyway, that requirement has nothing to do with your studying Talmud Torah. That's a requirement of the Mishnah Brura calls it Kavanat Tzibur. I thought it was really Kavanat Torah in the Tzibur when you read the Torah in the Tzibur. So you have to make a bracha before and there a bracha afterwards as well. Okay. Now, the last source that I wanted to look at was the Aruch HaShulchan's comments on this. And not surprisingly, from a methodological perspective, the Aruch HaShulchan adopts a position and he leaves it at that. The Mishnah Berurah, remember, said, wait, Birchas HaTorah should be Min HaTorah, so if you're not sure, you should have to make another bracha. And then, but only make one. And then the Mishnah Berurah says, oh, but I found some Achronim who say it's only Midrabanan, so maybe you shouldn't. So really, you should try very hard to either use your own Avah Rabbah or to listen to someone else's Birchas HaTorah. The Aruch HaShulchan is not going to equivocate at all. He's going to adopt what is the Mishnah Berurah's original position. And Kedarko Bakodesh, the Aruch HaShulchan, is going to try to find or present it as if almost everybody says this way. And he's going to try to explain that the Rambam agrees with the Ramban. And then I want to show you why I think that's probably not correct. Anyway, reading the Aruch HaShulchan, still up on the screen. Kasav Ramban de Sefer HaMitzvos B'Sof HaSein, and it's Davino Lahodos the Shmo Yisparach Becholesha Nikra Batora Ala Tova Hagadola Shaasalano Besito Torosenu Elenu Bahudeinu Amasim Aratsum Yilfanar Shabahem Ninchal Chayalava. So this is all the Ramban, which we read. Uba Bracho Samina and the Gemara said Mina in the Birchas Hatorah Mufana Hatorah Dichsiv Kishem Hashem Ekrahu Godol Lakenu. The Torah Hishem Hashem. The Torah is God's name. So Kishem Hashem Ekrahu, when I invoke God's name. Because of Ramban, the Ramban writes in conclusion that Mikolzen is bar she bracha zoi min haTorah vein roy lenos a mitzvah achas emakriya k'mo shemikra bikurim einanim the mitzvah achas emava also the sipur yitzias mitzrayim emachilas a pesach ad kan l'shana. So he quotes the Ramban accurately, pretty much verbatim as we have it. So now he writes in Sif Beis. All of the Gedolim, not all of the Gedolim, because you know the Mishnah Berurah quoted others said otherwise, but the Pri Chodesh and the Magen Avram and the Shagas Ari all say that this bracha is Minat Torah. V'tamhu al haRambam, they all wondered about the Rambam. Shelo mana mitzvah zo, that he didn't count this mitzvah. Ubevadai they assumed sirele the bracha zohi midrabanan kechol habrachos. They assumed that the Rambam held that Birchas HaTorah is midrabanon, like all other brachos, sans Birchas HaMazon. Minitchu liyashiv daito. They struggle to explain why the Rambam assumes it's only midrabanon. But the Aruch HaShulchan writes, ulefi anias dati, ain okay. I think that that's not true. V'gam haRambam sfir leishi min haTorah, kimavur me'ashas sheheveinu. The Gemara is pretty clear. V'chein ha b'yushalmi reish perek zayin de brachos. So if that's the case, why does the Rambam not count it in the Minyan HaMitzvos? Why does he not enumerate it as one of the 613? Ela disfira le shezehu chelek mechelke HaMitzvah delimut.
Hey, Rabbi Leader.
Yes.
So I'm so sorry to interrupt for a minute. There's sort of a loud banging noise that keeps happening periodically as if somebody's drumming on a table. If it would be possible for other people to hit mute, especially because this is recorded. I think that would be very wonderful. Thank you. Sorry to interrupt.
No problem. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that the Rambam believes that it's part of the mitzvah of Lima Torah. U'mitzvah achasi, it's a single mitzvah. U'ma shehevi Ramban raya mimikra bikur v'ava also shehem shnei mitzvahs. The fact that the Ramban tries to prove that Mikra Bikurim and bringing the Bikurim are two separate mitzvahs. V'chein tzipu yitzias mitzrayim machilas ha-pesach. T'mi handi. That's not a good proof. The Hasam Haim Bishnei Itos, V'yesh Hefsek Ben Zelazed. The two are not done together. First you read the Haggadah, then you eat the Karban Pesach afterwards. It's not like a bracha right before. First you bring the Bikurim to the Azara, and subsequently you put it down, and then you read the Parsha. Masha'enkein Birchas HaTorah, Mechuyav Lumot Kitzas, Techav La'achar Achar Bracha. By Birchas HaTorah, you have to learn immediately afterwards. Kemoshi is bar. V'im kein mitzvah achasi. Therefore, it is considered one mitzvah. V'zeh sinah. The problem with the Aruch HaShulchan immediately is that requirement of learning immediately afterwards does not seem to be truly me'ikar hadin. There's a minhag to do so. There's a minhag right after when we make Birchas HaTorah in the morning, we try to learn Torah Shebichtav. So we read Birchas Kohanim, Yivarechacha, etc. Then we read a Mishnah, which is Eilu Dvarim Shein Lehem Shi'ur, and then we read a Braisa from the Gemara. So we're getting Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud, which is not absolutely truly necessary, but that's the minhag that we have. So to argue that you that the reason why Kriyas HaTorah and Limud Torah count as one mitzvah is because they have to be done immediately one following the other, that's not really true. Okay, but that's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. V'zeh shebirchos hamazon nechsheves lemitzvah b'fnei atzma, av shechayuv ateichach achar achila. This is not a question that would have bothered me. You'll say that that birchos hamazon has to be done immediately after eating. Yeah, zem neisha achila in a mitzvah l'achreach. There's no mitzvah to eat. There is a mitzvah to eat generally, because if you don't eat, you die. But nonetheless, that's not counted as one of the 613 mitzvahs that you have to eat and drink so that you don't die. So, of course, it's not counted as, it's only one mitzvah, because there is only one mitzvah. Okay, now, the Aruch HaShulchan then writes in Sivav, and I'm going to come back to his point about the Rambam in a moment. Well, the fizeh, hadavar barush, in this topic, in birich birchas haTorah, in lo, in lav, the chozer umavarech kedin sveika daraisa. So he says, like the Mishnah Brura's initial conclusion, is that if you're not sure whether you made birchas haTorah, then you make birchas haTorah again. V'yesh mi she'omer she'mevarech kol ha'brachos. The Pri Chadash, he quotes, says you make all three brachos again. But v'yesh mi she'omer she'lo yivarech rak bracha achas de'min haTorah vaday ba'achas sagi. Now those who say, that's the Shagi Sari, I think, that one bracha is enough, because that's enough to fulfill the Torah obligation. V'lochein yivarech asher bachar banu, you should make the last bracha, d'hashas kariyele me'ula she'bebrachos. The Gemara calls that the best of the brachos. Mihu, lefima she'beirarnu mashma d'lashas dilan kula min haTorah. He thinks that according to the Bavli, all three brachos are midaraisa. But umikom makom, he says, yesh lahakel kidezo. You can be lenient to follow the Shagas Arye, the miute bibrachos adif. Because again, once we're not sure, in this case, better to have fewer brachos. Vigamze, kishiniskar kodam avaraba. This is only true if it's before avaraba and you want to learn. Dimniskar achar avaraba potratu kemoshi yispar. Okay. So he says that, like the Mishnah Berurah, if you only remember after Avarabah, then you don't make another Birchas HaTorah, because Avarabah will fulfill its obligation. And then he adds one more twist. I could imagine, you know, the Gabbayim in Shul, somebody really wants to get an Aliyah. So he walks up to the Gabbai on Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos and says, Mr. Gabbai, I'm not sure whether I made Birchas HaTorah or not. So could you do me a favor? Give me an Aliyah, and I'll make Birchas HaTorah there. And once I do that, I'm potter. It's a great way to get extra aliyos, okay? But don't tell anybody I told you that. So he says, V'koshikein, v'haya yom, shokriyas haTorah, yireh lalos l'Torah v'yotzei mimanav shach. Because while I mentioned to you before, if you walk into shul late and you start making Birchas HaTorah, and then you haven't had the chance to say Yivarechacha, Yair, Yisa, and read Eilu Dvarim, and then the Gabbai says Yamod and calls you up, you literally would walk up and repeat the last bracha immediately afterwards. That's true if you already made the Birchas HaTorah yourself. But if you walk into shul and you haven't made Birchas HaTorah, and before you have the chance to do so, you're about to start and the Gabbai calls you up, you don't make your own Birchas HaTorah and then go up. But rather, you go up and that Birchas HaTorah will exempt both the obligation for you're doing it when you read for the Tzibur, but it will also fulfill for yourself your own personal obligation of Birchas HaTorah.
Okay. Do you have to have kavana?
What's that?
Do you have to have kavana?
Do you have to have kavana? Probably not, because you really are. You know, it's, you know, Kriya Shema, one of the really interesting questions about first, you know, Ava Rabbah has a weakness in that it's not explicitly a Birchas HaTorah in the regular sense of Birchas HaTorah. Obviously, it is about praising God for giving us Torah mitzvahs, but it's not constructed as such. And afterwards, the real question is, and we'll talk about this thing next week when we meet Tosfos, the Yerushalmi is going to claim that you have to learn after Avarabah in order for it to exempt you, which implies, as Tosfos points out, that after the real Birchas HaTorah, the regular Birchas HaTorah, you don't really have to learn. Our minhag is to do so, But let's say I read Birchas HaTorah. You come to me and said, I read Birchas HaTorah, but all of a sudden I got an emergency phone call. I haven't said Yivarechacha, I haven't said Yedul Dvarim. Do I have to make Birchas HaTorah again because I interrupted? The answer is going to be no. So the question is, why would the Yerushalmi say that you have to learn immediately if, of course, you're learning immediately? You're reading Kriya Shema. And as Dr. Lamb pointed out, you know, in his shiurim, in his book on Kriya Shema, so there are three mitzvahs that you fulfill when you read the first pasuk of Kriya Shema. The mitzvah of Kabbalah Salmo HaShemayim, of accepting the yoke of heaven. The mitzvah of Kriya Shema, which is a separate mitzvah, that applies even to the next at least two parashios. And then the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And in fact, the Gemara says that b'di'evet, if all you did was read Kriya Shema in the morning and night, you were Yotzei Talmud Torah. But you're not allowed to say that in front of an Am Haaretz, because then they'll think that's all they have to learn. So the question is, why would you not fulfill the Yerushalmi's requirement of learning immediately when you say Kriya Shema? The answer would be is that Kriya Shema's primary purpose isn't for Talmud Torah. So Ava Rabba, which in itself is not an explicit Birchas HaTorah in the classic sense. So if all you said was Kriya Shema afterwards, that doesn't count. If you haven't, if you learn real, regular Talmud Torah right after davening, so then that would count to use Ava Rabba. But when you get Birchas HaTorah reading, reading Kriya HaTorah, the purpose of Kriya HaTorah is Talmud Torah Barabim. So it's hard for me to believe that just because you didn't have in mind when you were getting the bracha that it should exempt your personal Birchas HaTorah. You're reading the Birchas HaTorah, that's the real Birchas HaTorah, right? The one, one of the ones that you would say in the morning, and you're actually engaged in the study of Torah. It's not Kriya Shema. The primary mitzvah of Kriya HaTorah B'tzibur is Talmud Torah. So I would think, I haven't seen anybody address the issue, but it seems to me obvious that you would be Yotze whether you had in mind to exempt your own personal obligation of Birchas HaTorah. Now, the last question I wanted to deal with was the Aruch HaShulchan's assertion that the Rambam agrees with the Ramban. And as I mentioned before, this is not atypical of the Aruch HaShulchan. If the Mishnah Brewer's, if one of the Mishnah Brewer's, maybe his most famous hallmark, is collecting the Shittos and trying to be Machmir for all the Shittos, the Aruch HaShulchan's hallmark often is digging down or boring down on what he thinks is a correct Shita in this case, particularly because the Machlokas is not really explicit. The Rambam doesn't say Birchas HaTorah Midrabanan, in trying to read all of these positions as aligning, coming together. So he asserts that the Rambam believes that Birchas HaTorah is in fact Minat Torah, but it's part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. I disagree with the Aruch HaShulchan, and I'll tell you why. The first point is an argument in a sense from omission. Where does the Rambam talk about the bracha of Al Netilas Lulav? The answer is in Hilchos Sukkah and Lulav. Where does the Rambam talk about the bracha of Birchos of Lishma Kol Shofar? Hilchos Shofar. So where should the Rambam have discussed? Where should he have discussed the laws of Birchas HaTorah? The answer is in Hilchos Talmud Torah. That would have been the obvious place. You talk about the mitzvah and you talk about its bracha. But that's not what the Rambam does. The Rambam, and I here have taken snippets of you for you, in the middle of Hilchos Tfilah and the Siyas Kapayim. So the Rambam here in Hilchos Tfilah presents to you a series of brachos that are part of davening, part of the Seder Hayom. So the Rambam begins, and I have a bridge, but we'll look, scan very quickly. After they have Shmones, besides the Shmones, you have brachos acheros levarechos san b'chol yom. Elu hein, kishi kanes adal mitas alisha malaya, when you go to sleep, you may come uphill. In halach gimel, when you wake up in the morning, you say, elokai neshama shanasata bi, and you finish, barachat ha-shem achzir neshamos levgar mesim. Then Allah Adal, the Rambam says, when you hear the rooster crow, you say Hanosein Lasef Chivina, and he goes through all the brachas, what we call Birchas HaShachar, through a Gomel Chasadin Tovim, and then he says, if you go into the Beis HaKiseh, you make Dasher Yatar, and when you put on your belt, you make the bracha of Ozer Yisrael Bigvura, and then the Rambam writes in Allah Yud, Hamashkim Likro Batorah Kodem Shiikra Kriyashma, So bein kara b'torah shibchsa, bein kara b'torah shvapeh. Note the yad of tchila amavarei shalosh brachos v'achar kach korei v'eluhin. So the Rambam says that you want to learn before davening. So you get up, you make three brachos, and then you can study Torah. And then he writes in Yehalach Yiralt, b'chol yom chayav adam levarech shalosh brachos elu, v'achar kach korei me'at b'nivrei Torah. He says, then you read a little bit of Torah. V'naguam likra b'chas konim, and other places read different psukim, and so on, or prakim, or halachos from the Mishnah, from the Brises. So the Rambam chose to present the Birchas HaTorah. In effect, I would call it's a din in tefillah. It's part of the Seder Hayom of things that you do, brachos that you make when you wake up, when you stand up, when you open your eyes, when you put on your belt, when you put on your hat. All of these brachos that you make as part of the daily routine, Birchas HaTorah is part of that. This does not suggest, firstly, there's no hint here that Birchas HaTorah should be min HaTorah. Every single other bracha in this parak is the Rabbanon. And this is the wrong place for the Rambam to have put it. In fact, I'm not going to really explore this topic at great length, but some of you may be aware of the fact that Sephardi women do not volunteer brachos. In other words, Sephardi women, I don't know if their practice is to take the lulav and esrog, but if they do, they don't make a bracha on the tilas lulav. And they wouldn't, if they were blowing the shofar themselves, they wouldn't make lishma kol shofar. Because Sephardim, it's not just about women, it's about Sephardim, most Sephardim, you have to check which edah, don't make a bracha on Hallel of Rosh Chodesh. Because Hallel and Rosh Chodesh is only a minhag. And the Sephardim hold, like following the Roshita of the Rambam, that you cannot volunteer brachas. So if you are not obligated in the mitzvah, you do not make a bracha. The Mechaber paskins that way. The Ramah does not. So anytime you could volunteer a mitzvah as a Sephardi, you don't make a bracha. Yet when it comes to Birchas HaTorah, the Mechaber paskins that women can make Birchas HaTorah. Women do make Birchas HaTorah. So the question is, why? Women are not obligated in Talmud Torah in the classic sense. It's, of course, the Mekayim admits if they do it, but they're not obligated to do so. And if that's the case, how can the Mechaber say that they're allowed to make Birchas HaTorah? It should be a bracha levatala. So there are a number of explanations that have been offered, one of which is that women are also obligated in Talmud Torah. The nature of the obligation is somewhat different, but the Magen Avraham writes, any mitzvah that applies to women, so she's obligated to study the laws of those particular mitzvahs. The idea of Talmud Torah and something that's not halacha lemaisa, so that is not an obligation for a woman. Okay, there are different answers given along those lines. But I thought actually when you look at the Rambam, the answer, and the Rambam doesn't talk about one way or the other, women making or not making Birchas HaTorah, but in this parak, there's no distinction between men and women. All the brachos in this parak are made by men and women. So the simple interpretation is the Rambam would say women do make Birchas HaTorah, and they're obligated to make Birchas HaTorah. And the reason why they are is because it's part of tefillah. It's part of the Seder Hayom. It's not really fun. It's not a bracha on learning Torah. It's not a Birchas HaMitzvah like you make an Al Netilas Lulav or the Shema Kol Shofar or on Mikra Megillah, but rather it's a bracha that's, it's not almost a Birchas HaShevach. Like you give thanks to God, you know, when you're able to open your eyes in the morning, when you're able to stand up, etc. So it seems that Birchas HaTorah falls in that category. But it's clear to me from the Rambam's placement here and from the presentation, the Rambam does not believe that Birchas HaTorah is a Torah obligation. It's really part of the framework of Tefillah. So even without that, I think we still would paskin that if you're not sure whether you made Birchas HaTorah yet, that you would in fact make the third bracha of the Birchas HaTorah in order to be fulfill your obligation of a Sveika de'oraisa l'chomra. Okay, any questions? Okay, so I thank you again for your accommodations and rescheduling. And God willing, I will see hopefully everybody next Sunday morning.